Welcome to the Monocle Arts Review with me, Andrew Muller. On the programme today, I'm joined by Luke Turner of The Quietus for a few of the week's music picks. Luke, welcome to the show.
Hello, Andrew.
We were just saying off air there that your prediction was for 1.5 out of 3 today,
yeah.
i.e. tracks I'm not going to actively dislike.
I think so. That's what I'm going for.
1.5 out of 3 would be a new peak for you, I think.
I think it would, or for you, depending on which way around you look at it.
But at the risk of giving away the ending, massive spoiler alert. I don't think any of the tracks you've bought in this week were composed by Domestic Appliances, were they?
No, they're not.
Okay,
no,
which no. I'm vaguely disappointed by. When I saw the name of the first group we're going to listen to, Ibibio Sound Machine, I sort of lit upon.
You were hoping for it.
I was kind of hoping it was a dilapidated stereo. Somebody had found in a skip.
Alas, not. They're human. They're very human.
That is disappointing. Please, for the uninitiated, first of all, have I pronounced Ibibio correctly there?
I believe you have.
Excellent.
Yes.
That's something. So, Ibibio Sound Machine, who are they and why have you brought them in?
They are from all over the place. The places where they're from, it escapes me completely. But they're kind of Quietus' favourite for many years now. Absolutely fantastic group. This new album, I think it's out in March. This was the trouble today. There's lots of brilliant music in 2017. It's going to be a great year, but none of it's really out until March. But this is the single off their new album. And it's just, what I really like about this, it's kind of, you know, it's got a lot of African influence. There's a sort of pops thing, and there's loads of synths that sound like Gary Newman. And I'm all
you're
for that.
You're saying this as if it's a good thing.
Yeah, well, of course it's a good thing.
But you're saying Ibibio Sound Machine have become favourites at The Quietus. What is it about them that has endeared you to them or they to you?
I think it's that thing that people assume we just sit there in our dark office listening. John's listening to black metal and I'm listening to washing machines.
That is indeed the assumption.
It isn't true. We like really belting pop music and we like going out for a dance, and this works very well for the latter.
Okay, well, this is the second single from that forthcoming album, I think. It's called Give Me a Reason. Let's hear a bit of it. This is Ibibio Sound Machine. That is Give Me a Reason by Ibibio Sound Machine. It's from their forthcoming album, Uyai, which I hope I haven't mispronounced either. Luke, there was a lot of that sort of thing about in the 1980s. There was a period when charts, especially in this country, did get dominated by people who had just discovered Africa and sort of attempted to stir some influences from that into their music. Not always with dreadful results. And actually, I quite enjoyed that. That is quite upbeat. But is that where they're coming from?
I believe they actually have members from Africa as
that
part
would
of the
give
group.
Them an advantage.
Yeah, there was that sort of thing a few years ago was it Vampire Weekend? Simon Price, your former colleague, said their first album sounded like The Strokes with this sort of like borrowed African thing, you know, and then the second one sounded like another indie band with a borrowed African thing. And yeah, I can see what you mean when it's done, but I just find that sometimes it can be this sort of gluing things together is a little bit naff. You can end up like there's in Loughton in Essex, there's a restaurant that does Italian and sushi fusion, and you get some of the music sounds like. But I think Ibibio Sound Machine, they're the real deal. They're really brilliant.
My mind is already whirring with punning names for a potential Italian sushi restaurant. I'll get there.
You'll get there.
It may take me to the end of the show, but I will get there. Ibibio Sound Machine's new album out on March 3rd on Merge. It's called Uyai, but Give Me a Reason. You can hear now. Let's move along. This is Rose Eleanor Dougal. Now, I remember vaguely the band she was in a while ago, the Pipettes. Has what she's done since been at all comparable or not?
I think it's very different, really. I mean, the Pipettes was a sort of weird group composed and constructed out of Bill Drummond's book, his manifesto for creating the perfect pop band.
How to have a number one the easy way, etc.
And so they made, it was made by a load of people in Brighton to sort of, along those guidelines. And it was sort of what it was. It was a, you know, girl group type influence thing. Rose's stuff subsequently is a bit more sort of, I guess it's that sort of classic English singer-songwriter, but actually a bit more upbeat. Kind of, I just really like the pop songs. Lots of songs sort of influenced by the landscape of Sussex, while also being quite dark lyrics and about drinking and fags and men being arseholes and things like that. I think it's what I kind of think, if I think pop music, it shows that I'm, you know, fast flying into middle age. I think, oh, this is good pop music. You know.
It's got a tune you can whistle and you can understand
it's got a nice
the lyrics.
Tune. Yeah, exactly.
And also these new fivepence pieces are too small and fiddly. This is her first full-length album in a long time, since 2010. What has she been doing other than this?
I did an interview with her recently, actually, and she was with Mark Ronson on tour, in his band, and doing some recording with him. And then she was kind of doing that thing, I think, because she'd been in the pop world and a Ronson thing. There was lots of people saying, oh, you should work with this person, you should work with this person, go here and do writing with this person and that, and it just didn't work for her. I think she wrote tons and tons of stuff and then just kind of came back here and went to a studio on Hackney Road in London and was sort of down in the Sussex countryside, and it came together a lot more simply. I think she was sort of like, you know, pushed into that pop world, kind of went, ah, I can do this my own way. And that's why I like it. I think there's a real sort of spirit of that in this album.
Okay, the new album is called Stella, which, if it turns out the album isn't any good, is obviously going to make life terrifically easy for reviewers. In fact, it will make life terrifically reviewers if
good,
it is
it's
very
got very
good
reviews, actually.
It has indeed. It has, yeah. And from what I've heard of it, to be honest, I'm not surprised. But this is from that album, Stella. This is Rose Eleanor Dougal with The Colour of Water. Colour of Water there by Rose Eleanor Dougal. That is from the album Stella. It's out now on Vermilion and Piccadilly Records. Is that track indicative? I really like that. That is sort of big, sumptuous, old-school pop music that sounds like it was made with a massive orchestra, even if, as I'm assuming, it probably wasn't.
No, that is pretty indicative. It's the first track on the album, and it kind of goes off along like that. And what I like about Rose is I saw her play at Port Elliot Literary Festival last year, and, you know, sometimes I guess she's sort of a singer-songwriter. She has a band. I don't know. It's such a weird term, singer-songwriter. It doesn't really mean anything. But she's refreshingly unprecious about it. She's very funny live. It's kind of this sort of, like, she has a laugh while doing it, which is quite nice to see, I think.
It is a hard thing to get away with, though. I was, as I rode the tube to get in here, just reading, I'm near the beginning of Robert Forster's book, Grant and I, about life in the go-betweens, which is absolutely brilliant. I realise I'm deviating from the point here somewhat, but there is a bit in it where he talks about seeing Orange Juice play very early on in Glasgow, and what a revelation that was, that you can be funny on stage and it doesn't detract at all from the seriousness of the music.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, like, there's the Dirty Three are really brilliant for that. You know, when Warren Ellis sort of will do these incredible monologues before he starts to play a song, just absolutely hilarious, and then the music's quite sad, a lot of, and quite melancholy, what the Dirty Three do. I like that contrast.
Okay, well, that is Rose Eleanor Dougal, and we will move along finally to Shackleton and Vengeance Tenfold. Now, we need to back up here a little bit, because I obviously wish passionately that I had myself been christened Vengeance Tenfold. It would be a fantastic name.
Clever parents, didn't
it? It really would. Well, it reminds me, it's always a treat for me at the beginning of every American college football season. I like going through the squad names and finding the best names.
Mm.
And those are the players who I try to follow throughout the ensuing season. This year, I was very keen on Equanimeous St. Brown, who played for Notre Dame.
Incredible. How did he do?
Averagely. I don't know if the kid's going all the way, to be honest, but Equanimeous St. Brown. What a fantastic name. Even better, although almost disappointingly, he was a wide receiver rather than a linebacker or a safety, which would have been more appropriate. I think he played for Michigan, Eddie McDoom.
Eddie McDoom.
Oh, wow.
How much do you wish right now that your name was yeah, Eddie McDoom?
Wide receiver Eddie McDoom. That would.
It would have been, like I said, it would have been better if he was in one of the sort of nasty tackling defensive roles. Yeah. But nonetheless, I'll take it. I mean, imagine being able to sign off a radio program like that. I'm Eddie McDoom. Thanks for listening. Anyway, but this is Shackleton and Vengeance Tenfold. Who are Shackleton? And please tell us more about Vengeance Tenfold.
Shackleton is an electronic music producer. He's been around for quite a long time. He's started making my favourite stuff by him. It's come out in the past year or so. Vengeance Tenfold is, I believe, a poet and a writer. I actually first encountered their work together, and I think it was the last time they worked together, was when they did a piece. So there you go, he's almost got a machine because this involves a train. They did a piece of music that was for my favourite bit of railway line in England, the section near along goes along the seawall at Dawlish on the train line to Plymouth that got washed away a few years ago. And they basically made a piece of music that, as you went through Dawlish station, you hit play and there was music and words all about the kind of land and the water, and it just lasted for that stretch of coast, which was great. And now they've come back together again for this album of sort of mysterious, very rhythmic, almost, it's kind of, there's some spiritual lyricism. I'm not quite sure whether they're taking things that seriously or not. There was an album Shackleton did last year which had this sort of quite over-the-top, flamboyant kind of cosmic nature, cosmicness to it. And I quite like the fact, I'm not quite sure whether he's taking the mickey or it's entirely serious.
Well, the new thing is called Spheric Ghost Transmit. That's Spheric, S-F-E-R-I-C. Mm. This does sound something like a B-side by The Fall. But nonetheless, this is a track from that. It is called Dive Into the Grave. Dive Into the Grave there. That is from Spheric Ghost Transmits by Shackleton, and that name again, Vengeance Tenfold. It's out now on Honest John's. Is that, Luke, indicative of their work, or of the new work as a whole?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of, I would say the album is like, two very obscure things to compare it to, but Liars, the sort of Australian LA group who were on Mute, or still are on Mute, one of my favourite bands, and Coil, the sort of post-Throbbing Gristle group from the 1980s, 90s. It's all these sort of nice little percussive melodies all the way through it, and that sort of call and response vocal and all that sort of thing.
Well, Luke Turner, thank you as ever for joining us.
Thank you.
That brings us to the end of today's show. Thank you to my guest, Luke Turner from The Quietus. You have been listening to the Monocle Arts Review with me, Andrew Muller. The producer was Holly Fisher. Join us again at the same time tomorrow. We'll discuss TV. But I'm Andrew Muller. Thanks for listening.